Our Thursday tech segment is all about turkey and Thanksgiving. And Kim Severson here in the studio, dining writer for The New York Times. You have a fascinating piece today about how social networking sites actually allow you to track the phenomenon of Thanksgiving almost in real time. Explain what it is we're able to see.
Well, we've digitalized Thanksgiving in a way. Everybody searches for recipes through Google. They search on allrecipes.com and Epicurious, other cooking websites. So if you take all those searches and aggregate them, you can get some patterns about where and who and how we're cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
And the numbers are kind of amazing. When did people weigh in and start to look for recipes?
Well, there's a whole graph you can track. There are a few people who pre-plan, and you can see the traffic beginning a little bit the week out of Thanksgiving. But really, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, it's all hands on deck at these sites, and one site was getting over a million page views an hour all day Wednesday. So clearly, we're not planning ahead.
And by 9 p.m. Wednesday, 785,000 people had looked up turkey recipes at allrecipes.com.
Just that day.
That's
just
that day.
That day. And you could imagine the Google searches that are happening and the other kinds of searches that are going on.
Now, typically, you know, we're kind of simulating the Butterball hotline in our sort of tip line that we're trying to do here on the show. Those social networking experiences of Thanksgiving are actually declining as these others are increasing.
Absolutely. People are, just think how you would do it. How do I make this gravy again? You're going to go to Google and figure it out. So you can tell when people are panicking. And interestingly, by about 10 o'clock today, a lot of the searches will have petered out. But the one that
just
remains.
Calling 911.
Right. Now they're just like, pizza is what they're calling. But the one that remains, like at about 3 o'clock today, everybody's going to panic and type gravy into the search engine.
That's exactly right, of course. And you can actually tell what people are making. What are they making this year? You said people are making a lot of the same side dishes.
Right. It's kind of interesting, though, as there's certainly regional differences. We found a broccoli casserole belt that stretches from Appalachia down to Florida. For some reason, that part of the country searches broccoli casserole like crazy. Cheese balls in the Midwest. And we weren't sure what it means. You know, does it mean they've forgotten every year how to make the cheese ball? Or is it a new phenomenon? Some things are a little hard to figure out.
Tech and Thanksgiving. I love this century. Thank you, Kim.
How about a Thanksgiving feast? You can carve the turkey.
Let me explain to you how you should slice the turkey.
Everything's cold. The turkey's dried out and the stuffing's all soggy.
Yeah, and there's a bowl of cranberry sauce. What happens to cranberry sauce?
Let's get serious now. Kim stays with us here, dining writer for The New York Times, and Julia Moskin joins us, also a New York Times food writer. It's great to have both of you here.
Thanks for having us.
And, now let's really talk about the advice, because we've been getting a lot of advice from people. And first of all, from both of you, and you, Kim, you've already sort of talked about how you don't kill yourself with a deep-fried turkey with the oil in the garage. Julia, is your best piece of advice on dealing with a turkey and keeping it from intimidating you?
Well, as Kim knows, my best approach to the turkey is to get someone else to cook it, because it's really not particularly my favorite dish about Thanksgiving. I tend to focus a lot more on the side dishes as a cook, and I'm always really interested in trying to perfect something like the roasted vegetables, which so often when I make them, I'm very excited to have them be crisp and tender and buttery, and instead they're dry and leathery and just dead. So I made.
What is your advice there? Because
I learned that you shouldn't cook them at too high a heat, because that's what dries them out. So not higher than 375 degrees. And for a dry vegetable like cauliflower or potatoes, put a pan of water in the bottom of your oven to create a little bit of a steamy atmosphere. It really works.
Perfect advice. Well, back to the turkey, which is what a lot of people are considering. Here's Felicia in Brooklyn, New York.
My name is Felicia, and I'd like some information on how to cook a turkey overnight in the oven.
Sounds like a convenient, labor-saving idea, but both of you are making faces.
Well, Felicia should really not put her guests at risk for food poisoning. I think that the thing
really?
Is to if you cook a turkey overnight, you have to cook it at very low temperatures, and a lot of turkeys have a high level of salmonella and other bacteria. You really want to get... Unlike roast beef, which, you know, you can do an overnight prime rib, and that works really well at that low heat. I just personally wouldn't risk it with a turkey. God bless her if she pulls it off.
All right. And you wouldn't recommend it either, right, Julia?
No, that's the hotbed for food poisoning.
Now, there are a lot of catastrophes that sort of emerge in the middle of food preparation in Thanksgiving. And these tips or questions are in that general category. One of our listeners wrote in, every year I try to make pies at Thanksgiving, and every year the pie crust shrinks down into the pie pan. Why? And there are four question marks there, Julia.
Well, with pie crust, you really have to make sure that you're using a lot of it. You know, it is going to shrink a lot, so the best thing is to obviously take advantage of that and just really drape that pie crust over the edges. Also, even though it makes it a little more difficult to roll out, don't put too much flour. Don't keep adding flour until you've got, like, a very stiff dough, because the more flour there is, the more gluten, and the gluten's going to shrink when it hits the heat.
That's interesting.
Another easy thing, too, just let it rest for about an hour after you roll it out in the pan, and that'll help. And if you're doing a blind bake, or if you're just baking it off in the oven, you can put foil there, put some dried black-eyed peas or something in there, pre-bake it, and then pull it out.
So John Phillips has this relatively common catastrophe. Our dad hosted Thanksgiving a few years back. He was newly single, very proud. He managed to cook the turkey by himself, although the bag of giblets he didn't know about was left inside the bird, so it didn't fare so well. What do you do in that situation?
Well, you put your hand in your turkey early. That's a piece of advice, and then that you just laugh it off and make it a good story and let it become family lore. I mean, you just, you know, when you have a disaster, usually there's enough food around the outside of the turkey. You can trim the parts that work. You can put on a platter, add a little garnish, some gravy, and hopefully save the day.
What's your favorite side dish, Kim?
Turkey is my favorite side dish. No, I got to tell you, I love the stuffing, and there's a debate about whether that goes with the turkey or the side, but I just love stuffing.
And Julia?
Well, this year I discovered a dish that you can make with frozen corn that is really just shockingly good.
And, you know, corn was actually a very traditional dish at the time that we think of as the first Thanksgiving.
Right. I mean here in the Northeast, it's not seasonal, and we do try to, you know, often the Thanksgiving menu classically reflects the new vegetables of the fall and the sweet potatoes and all of that. But either, you know, if you can get your hands on some corn, or really just go to the supermarket and then just caramelize it in butter, which unsurprisingly makes it extremely delicious.
And it's a frozen corn what?
It's just a sauté, but you toss it in a really hot pan with a lot of butter until it actually browns and some of the kernels start to pop. And then I just put fresh mint in it and salt, and people love it.
It's the mint that makes that dish.
And in general, when I was raised, my mother's kind of rare. She would have us all, by the time we were 13, cook a Thanksgiving meal, thinking that that was something we needed to learn before we grew up. And she would always give me a pep talk. Now, don't worry. The worst you can do is burn down the house, which would always terrify us. What's your word of advice to cooks who are maybe just starting out on Thanksgiving this year?
Well, two things. One, just don't worry. It's going to be okay. And the second is make a list today that lists out everything you need to do and put a time next to it. So by noon, the turkey has to go in, 12:30. And also write a list of all the dishes you want on the table so at the last minute you don't leave the cranberry relish in the fridge.
Julia Monskin, some quick advice?
Assign someone else to do the carving and send them to watch the carving video at newyorktimes.com.
Perfect. That is great advice. If you have your own cooking questions, turkey tips, or dinner disasters, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.